So it was snowing last Monday. What did we get? 12, 14, whatever we got. And then it did what snow was supposed to do. It warmed up and it melted away. And then yesterday I was walking around in a t-shirt. It was really cool. And it felt like it was 90, but it was, it was nice out. It was a nice time to walk. And we're actually going to talk about that, not the snow. We're going to talk about walking. We're going to talk about walking today. And it's interesting to me when we talk about walking that I come from a grandmother who was renowned for her walking. My father's mother, renowned for her walking. There were stories, legendary stories about her walking feats. Apparently, she used to walk from South Philly all the way the entire length of Broad Street into Jenkintown, up and back to see some of her children that I think were living apart from her, and she used to do this on a regular basis. Grandma walked, man. She walked. She walked everywhere, you know. She was a walker for sure. And yesterday, you know, it was nice out, so I just said, man, I'm going to get out the hose. I skimmered all the salt out in the front, hose down the front of the house, all this kind of stuff. And then, of course, she started doing stuff. And then after I was out there for a while, she said, let's take a walk. I went, yeah, let's take a walk. It was so nice just to get out and walk around, not worrying about the crazy weather. When we talk about walking, talk about walking in the scriptures, there's a lot to be said about walking in the Bible, a lot. You know, if you do a word search on walking, you're going to see the word walk come up, and walk, walking, walk, you know, often, very often, in the hundreds of times. And sometimes it means just this, just walking, just plain old walking, ambulatory, the things that most of us have been doing since we became what? A toddler, right? Isn't that why they call them toddlers? Because they start to toddle. You know what I mean? The toddler. So, you know, after they, you know, you begin to walk. And some of you like to walk. Some of you don't like to walk. But in either case, for the most part, when you're in good health and you're able to, we all walk. It's interesting that when you look in the Bible about walking, that we find in the Bible that God talks often about walking and walking with us. His word talks often about walking with us. In fact, from the very, 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 very beginning, it seems to be that it was God's plan and desire when he created us to walk along with us, to walk with us, to spend time with us in a walk. And before the sin came into the garden, it seemed to be that this was a regular occurrence that you kind of get. That doesn't say that specifically in scripture, but you kind of get it from the context there, that God used to walk with Adam. He used to take walks with him. They used to walk together. But when Adam sinned, when him and the woman, when they took for the fruit and they ate of it and they sinned, Scripture says in Genesis 3, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. They didn't walk with him. He wanted to walk. They didn't want to walk. They hid themselves. They hid away. God called Adam's name. Adam answered in fear, you know, where are you? The walks were over. The walks were over. Not because God wanted the walks to stop, but because man interfered with those walks because of sin. Sin has separated us from the joy of walking with God. And it will always do that. But you see throughout Scripture, and we're going to go through some of them today. I do have a lot of Scriptures this morning. We'll try to get most of them, if not all of them. But you're going to see from Scripture that true life, as God intended, is to be found walking with him. See, right after we see Adam and Eve mess up the walks with God, they go through the generations of those that came after them, and there was this dude called Enoch, and he apparently walked with God a lot. And he walked with God, and one day they were walking, and they kept walking. And he took them home, just walked with them, took them home. It's a heck of a walk. The Bible says Noah walked with God. It says that Noah walked with God and found grace in his sight because he was perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. God called a dude Abraham. And when Abraham was just doing his business and just being around and hanging around and happy with his life, I guess, God said, hey, let's take a walk. And he said, I'm going to just start walking. Now, that was a regular walk first. It started out with just walk. Leave everything and walk. Keep walking. I'll tell you where you're going to go. Just keep walking, keep walking, keep walking, walk. And then as Abraham walked that way with God and followed God, one time God said this to him in Genesis 17 when Abram was 99 years old. So he'd been walking with God for a while, really walking. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. You know, the Bible continues of those who walked with God. When Israel was in Egypt and they were in bondage because of their sin, and God sent the deliverer to bring them out, Moses to bring them out, and God had them walk. And they walked a lot longer than they were supposed to walk because of their sin. They walked the desert for 40 years. But during that time, God was teaching them what it meant to walk the right way and what it meant to walk the wrong way. And he kept telling them, you're walking this way because you didn't listen to me. You sinned against me. You were stubborn. That familiar to any of us? God's word speaks to our heart. Sometimes he uses other people to speak to us God's word and God's truth. And we just, that sounds like the Israelites. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy 5. 31, but as for you, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which you shall teach to them, that they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess. Now he's given Moses the charge, as you say, they're going to go now. Therefore, 32, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. 33, you shall walk in all the ways of the Lord your God, the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. God said, look, I'm going to teach you to walk the right way. You've been walking around this desert because you've been not walking the right way. I'm going to show you, if you walk the right ways, it's going to be a great, wonderful walk. David in the Psalms a lot talks about walking. Right in the first Psalm, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 119, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. The wonderful shepherd's psalm, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? He's with us, right? He walks with us. David said in Psalm 116, verse 9, I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. See, that's the heartbeat of Scripture. That's the heartbeat that continues on in every page, God desiring to have a walk with us, even though we interrupted his walk, even though we messed up that walk, God still desires to walk with us, to walk with his people. Through the prophets even, Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Jeremiah 6:16, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old path where the good way is, and walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk. Oh, that stubborn heart that we have, that stubborn will that we have. See, but I want you to understand, as we're reading these select scriptures, and there's many, many more, that walking with God is not just for the Enochs of the world. It's not just for the Noahs of the world. There are examples of those who walked with God, and they're good examples for us. But the desire of Scripture, you can see it over and over again, is for God to walk with us. To walk with us. So it's not reserved just for a select few. Now, picture walking with somebody, especially. I mean, you could walk yourself. I saw this three times on Friday. Three times. Ah! I mean, twice to the cars in front of me, they had to slam the brakes. So somebody just walked right out like this, and they went, and they got mad because they walked into traffic, not looking at their phone. And then it happened once with me. I was ready to pull out, and the person just walked right like that. I'm like, dude, wake up. Get off your phone. But that, I'm not talking about that kind of. I'm talking about a nice walk with somebody. See, when you walk with somebody, there's usually a reason for it. Usually. You might just be going from place to place, maybe getting some exercise. But when you walk with somebody, especially, obviously, normally you're walking with somebody that you're, you know, when I say you have a relationship with, it's somebody you want to spend some time with. You know, let's walk together. Let's talk together. Let's, you know, just reason together. Let's just, you know, spend some time together and let's take a nice walk. You talk, you laugh, you listen, you share things, you know, all these kind of things just come out as you walk with somebody. And walking that way, it's a good thing. And your intention, usually when you're walking with somebody, your intention is you're in conversation, that you're just really focusing on the conversation and the person. You're not necessarily looking and noticing things around you. You may occasionally say, oh, look at that, and then talk about what you just saw. But for the most part, you're engaged. You're in conversation. You're in that fellowship mode. You're just sharing and spending time together. See, walking with God, that's what walking with God should be. To walk with him in a basis of having that real heart relationship with him. That he desires to have us, to know him more, to know his voice, to hear his voice, to spend time talking to him and listening to him and sharing with him and unburdening ourselves to him and doing all these things. And that's why walking with God should not be reserved for Sunday for an hour and a half or so. Or for like the couple times you might just read your Bible for a few minutes. Or just, you know, the times that maybe you do a Bible study or something like that. No, this should be a daily, moment by moment thing. See, and when you walk with somebody, now think about this. When you agree to walk with somebody, you have to, for that walk to take place, say no to other things. You know, if they say, let's take a walk, you say, no, I'm busy, right? Or no, I have this to do, I got that to do, or I don't feel like it, or blah, 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 blah. To walk with somebody, you have to say no to some other stuff. Now, picture that same walk that I was just talking about. You're walking with somebody that you really care about, you're walking with them, you're talking, you're engaging, it's really good, you're enjoying the time together, and so forth. Now, picture that same walk with distractions. Picture that walk where you really didn't want to walk and you kind of just did it, and when they're talking and you're just thinking, I don't want to, can I make an excuse when I get over there? Or you're so into that you're walking, but you're so much into your own stuff. They're saying stuff and you're just blah, 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 blah. You're not even paying attention. Or maybe you're just so much, you know, thing that you're humming to yourself or you're distracted. Maybe the walk's not the kind of walk you wanted to take, so you're disillusioned on this walk. I don't want to walk this way or whatever. All this stuff is just messing up that walk. It doesn't become a joyful walk anymore. That happens many times with us in our relationship with the Lord and the desire that he has to walk with us. See, when we walk, when God wants to walk with us, God's not going to be distracted. God's not going to be disillusioned. God wants to listen to us. He wants to impart things to us. He wants to spend that time with us. He wants that walk. So if there's any problem with our walk with God, it's not from God's side, it's somewhere from our side. And we bring so many distractions into our walk with God. You know, we're walking with God and we're all of a sudden we're distracted by this or that, or we're so upset that there's things that we want to say that we don't say, or things that we want to do that we don't do, and we're just like, oh, it just messes up the entire walk. Could you imagine walking with somebody and you got some problem with them, and as you're walking with them, you want to like have it out, but you're like, nah, I can't do it now. And as you're walking with them, you're not going to enjoy that walk because you're thinking the whole time, should I say, should I not say, that's going to start something. And you're bottling up all inside. It just messes the whole thing up. And that's what happens many times with our walk with God. We allow things to come into that walk. Sinful things, habits. The things of this world that just distract us so much. You know, we're so much doing this. God's walking with us and we're doing this. You know, we're just walking and God wants to speak to us and we're just like, no, it's not right. It's not right. That's not what God's choice is for a walk with us. And that relationship, or the relationship of that walk, if you will, it just fizzles. See, sometimes we think we're going to walk with God, and then we say, well, I want to set out to walk with God every morning at this time and do this, and all of a sudden it becomes a boring walk or a repetitive walk. See, our walks with God should always be dynamic and exciting. There's a story from Scripture, one of my favorite stories, one that I'm sure that most of you know. And I think it kind of illustrates this a little bit. It's a story about the time after Jesus died on the cross. And he had resurrected from the dead, but he didn't appear to a lot of people yet. It was real still early in that time. And the story is about two men who were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were walking. They were walking, walking, walking. And you get the sense from the context of the scripture, I'm going to read some of it today, that as they're walking, they're not enjoying the walk at all. And they are talking to one another, but they're like miserable. They're miserable about the things that transpired. They're miserable about what they've lost hope. And they feel like their worlds are destroyed. They're disillusioned. They're confused. They're angry. They have questions. They don't know what to do. And it's a painful, arduous walk. Now, as they're walking, someone comes up to them and walks alongside them, kind of makes pace with them. And that someone happened to be Jesus, but they didn't recognize it was Jesus. And Jesus says in Luke 24:17, he said to them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have with one another as you walk and are sad?" So Jesus says, "Look, I can see it all over you guys. You're miserable. This is not a good, fun walk." And they respond to Jesus, you know, like, "Don't you know what's all the things that went on about Jesus? Da, 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 da." And then Jesus begins to open up all of the scriptures to them, the Old Testament scriptures. And he begins to, as they're walking now, he begins to teach them everything in the Bible that was concerning him, Jesus. Now, you can get this sense as you read the text, but all of a sudden, this slow, arduous death march, so to speak, it became like a little bit more exciting, a little more interesting. And I can see the pace picking up, and I can see their heads lifting up, and their shoulders coming back, and they're watching and listening to Jesus, and all of a sudden, the miles are starting to go by a lot quicker. It's like, oh, wow, this is great. And Jesus is continuing on, and they get to the point where it's getting later in the evening, and they know it's time to stop. They're getting tired. They're hungry, and Jesus wants to keep on walking. He wants to keep on the walk, and they say, "Look, stop with us and have something to eat." But Jesus wanted to walk, and they're like, "No, please stay with us," because they were enjoying this walk so much with Jesus. They didn't want to lose the company. And they go to sit down and get something to eat. And as they go to break bread, Jesus unveiled himself and he appeared to them. They knew who it was him, and then he disappeared from them. See, that walk was a miserable walk when it started without Jesus and without hope. But then it says, after Jesus departed from them, after he broke bread and they knew it was him, listen to what they said, verse 32 of Luke 24. "And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, the Lord is risen indeed." And they, could you imagine that walk that started out so horribly became a great, wonderful walk when Jesus joined it. And then when Jesus left them, they were still so excited about the time they spent with him on the road that they doubled time. Remember, it was late at night. It was in the evening. They stopped to eat. They were tired. Oh, they're just going back to Jerusalem. Woo, we got to tell everybody. Because they spent time walking with Jesus. See, to walk with God requires something. In fact, to walk with anybody requires something. The Bible says that can two walk together, this is Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? So basically what it's saying is, you know, if you're going to say, somebody says, "Let's take a walk," and you've probably been in situations, "Let's take a walk," and they got something they got to say, and they're like, it's not going to be a pleasant walk. You know what starts to happen? You stop. And you're not walking anymore. You're like looking at them, like, "Yeah, really?" You know, and you're ready to go. You know, "Oh, come on. I don't want to walk with you anymore. I want to knock you out, man." Arr! See, to really enjoy those walks, you got to be in agreement with that person. Much more so with God. See, to be agree with God means you're aligned up with his will. You're aligned up with what he says is right. See, the Bible says in Galatians 2:20 that we are to be crucified with Christ so that we realize that Colossians 2:6 says, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus, so walk in him. See, the walk from our side doesn't always have to be a perfect walk. You say, well, how can I walk with God? He's holy. He's perfect. I'm not. How could I even be in full agreement with God? He's God, right? Well, see, God knows that. But God desires to walk with us imperfect people anyway. And he desires to walk with us in this way, that he realizes that we're just dust. He realizes we got issues. He realizes all that stuff. But he wants to walk with us. It's his desire. It's his plan. See, John 2:6 says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So here's what this means when you put it all together. How can two walk together unless they are agreed? Well, remember Genesis 3? Let's walk, kids. Let's walk. Yeah, this is great walking with God. This is cool. This is great. This is wonderful. And then they sin, and then they can't walk with God anymore. They're disqualified. Sin interrupted that walk. Sin messed up that walk. See, you have to recognize something. We have to get to that place of understanding what God desires of us. See, we can make a choice to walk with God or to walk our own way. See, Romans 8:1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's a choice. Same chapter, verses 4 and 5, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Are you agreeing with God that there's a better way to walk? Are you agreeing with God? God, I need to walk your way. There's a right way to walk, and there's a wrong way to walk. See, Romans 13, listen to this. Because when you walk with Jesus, you have to agree with Jesus. You have to agree that's right. You have to come into agreement with him to be able to walk with him. But now you have to say, well, look, it comes at a cost. Every walk comes at a cost, as I said earlier. You have to forget some other things to take that time to walk with somebody. Well, with God, you have to do that too, and it comes at a cost. Romans 13 says, 12 and 13, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, and lewdness, and lust, not in strife and envy. See, remember that first psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. But he meditates, that psalm says, in his law day and night. He made a choice. He decided, I counted the cost, and if I want to walk with Jesus, I have to walk his way. I got to walk the right way. I got to walk the way he tells me I have to walk. See, we can decide for ourselves, I want to walk. And I want to walk with Jesus, but I want to walk with Jesus on the broad way of this world's walk. I want to walk with him with everything else that there, all the other stuff that really isn't conducive for my walk with Jesus, but I want to walk that way anyway. You know why? Because that's the walk I like. I like that walk with Jesus. I can have Jesus when I need him. I can have Jesus when it's convenient for me. I can have Jesus, my way, my God, my way. But Jesus says, no, you got to walk a narrow road. I have a road, and it's a beautiful road. It's the best road of all, but it's narrow. It's my road, my way. And we have to decide, will we count the cost and say, Jesus, I will give up the wide road, and I'm going to follow your road, your path. Hebrews 12:1 says this, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run," not just even walk, "run with the endurance of the race that is set before us." Hey, Jesus, I realize I can't walk with you bogged down with all this other stuff. This stuff hinders me. This weight, all these other things is keeping me from walking with you as I should, Lord. It's encumbering me. I can't do it. Lord, I need to throw off this stuff. This stuff's got to leave my life so I can really walk with you and be in agreement with you. Because then I'll benefit from that walk, and God will be pleased with that walk. See, when you walk with Jesus in that way, you will look different. You will. You will act different. You will talk different. See, Colossians 1:10 says that we are called, that in the prayer that Paul prays for us, he prayed for that church, but he prayed for all of us too, that you, us, may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So you say, I want to bear good fruit for Jesus. I want to do what's right. Well, you got to walk with him. If you're not walking with him in obedience, if you're not walking with him his way, you're not going to bear good fruit. Now, I want to tell you another story from the Bible. And this is another story. This is a story about after Jesus had risen from the dead, after Jesus had appeared with the disciples and walked with them for 40 days, after Jesus ascended back to the Father, Peter and John one day were walking, and they went over and walked over to the temple. You know the story about they see the man there. Now, after they encounter that man, they have an encounter afterwards with the people, the same council that just killed Jesus, put him to death, right? You might say killed him, put him to death. They sentenced him to death. The same people. And they look at them, and they threaten them. Don't talk in that name anymore. Don't teach in that name anymore. Blah, 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 blah. They give them all these things. Peter and John say, well, who are we going to listen to? You or God? Kind of simple. We're going to follow God. And you know what it says about those hardened religious fanatics who had sentenced the Lord of glory to death not a long time ago? They looked at Peter and John, and they said, oh, they have been with Jesus. Where did they get that from? Did they get that because they just walked physically with Jesus for 3.5 years? No. They did walk with him, right? Walking was the most way you got around back then. They walked everywhere with Jesus. But it wasn't just a walk where they were just walking and saying, hey, this is great. We get some exercise. That's cool. No, they were walking with him as a disciple would walk. They were learning. They were growing. They were becoming more like Jesus. They walked with him all the way through all of the events, all the way through. Even though they didn't walk that walk very well most of the time, they walked with him all the way through the Garden of Gethsemane, through the Last Supper. They walked with him all the way through the cross. They walked with him through the burial. They walked with him in the resurrection, the new life. They walked with him when he ascended back to the Father. They walked with him and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon him. And as they continued to walk with Jesus, as they continued to walk now in the world after Jesus left this world, the world looked at them and said, they've been with Jesus. There's something different about them. It's because they learned to walk with him. And when you walk with somebody, you're going to become a little bit more like them. See, that's the whole idea of the word discipleship. We talk about it all the time, discipleship. You know what discipleship means? Walking with somebody, literally walking in the footsteps of another. And that's what happened. And they looked at them and they said, they've been with Jesus. See, that's what happens when you and I walk with him when we should and as we should. The world will start to see us differently than they've always seen us before. And they're going to wonder what it is. But they're going to be seeing Jesus in our life. Now, I was thinking about that story this morning just before I left to go to Jersey, then come over here. Maybe it was even as I was driving, I don't remember. But I just remember something, or I thought of something. I was like, wait a minute. That whole scene in Acts 4 took place because Peter and John, when they said they had been with Jesus, that all took place afterwards because of what happened before. They walk to the temple, and they see a man who was lame from birth, crippled, couldn't walk. He asked alms of them, right? Give me something. They said, we don't have silver or gold, but what we have we'll give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Now, when they got into trouble with the religious leadership was because what it says here in verse 9 of chapter 4 of Acts, it says because all the people saw him, the guy that was healed, walking and praising God. So in other words, their walk with Jesus allowed them to walk and encounter this man, to pray for that man so that he was able to walk and to get up on his feet praising God. And they told them, well, you don't walk like that anymore. And they said, oh, we're going to walk, keep walking that way. And they said, oh, they've been with Jesus. They didn't know what to do with them. They did not know what to do. Oh, next time you do it, we'll threaten you. We'll put you in prison. We'll beat you. And they were like, okay, keep doing it. It's okay. Man, these are different people. These Jesus people. See, when we walk with Jesus, then we will be able to become more like Jesus. And when we become more like Jesus, we'll be able to do things that are miraculous. Now, you might be thinking, oh, does that mean I can pray for a pot of gold and I got a pot of gold? Oh, if that's where your mind goes, there's something wrong with your mind. It's not right with Jesus. Doesn't mean the stuff, you know, look, they prayed for a man that was crippled and he was healed. Oh, you might lay hands on somebody and they might fully recover. I've had that experience and miraculously prayed for people and healed, you know, praise God. But you know what? As you and I encounter everyday life, when we walk with Jesus, we will do and see the miraculous in and through our life. The encounters that we have, the changes that happens in our life, the relationships, the marriages that are brought back, the relationships that are healed. It's amazing. The impossible. No, it's impossible. No, I'm walking with Jesus. Anything's possible for him. You need another little thing about that? Well, here, I'll give you another little story. You know this one in the Bible, too. Guess what? They're on the boat, and they're drowning. And then they see Jesus walking on the water. Remember that story? How many remember that story? A couple of you. I know you're like, you got to raise your hand. Now. You got to do something. I got to make sure you're still awake. Okay. Ah, I know that story. Now, when I read that story, I don't get, and I say this, I understand the way I'm saying it. I don't get super impressed in that story about Jesus walking on the water. You know why? He's God. I can't expect that. He's God. He can do what he wants. He walk on the water. Okay. Jesus walking on the water. Okay, cool. But what happens next is what's amazing. Peter looks out. And he sees that it's Jesus walking on the water. And he says, the Bible says, in faith, Lord, tell me to come out to walk with you. And Jesus says, come on. And then Peter, the dude, like me, you, human being. Did you ever try walking on water? Come on. Don't those YouTube things you see, walking on water. No, that's all fake stuff. We're not built to walk on water. I can't even swim, forget alone, walk on water. Peter gets out of the boat. Walks on the water. That's pretty darn miraculous, don't you think? And he keeps walking on the water, walking to Jesus, until what? He takes his eyes off Jesus. Until he gets distracted in his walk with Jesus by all the stuff around him, the wind and the waves and all that stuff, and his own fears came up. And then what happened? He starts to sink, but then Jesus pulls him out. But the thing is, he was able to do the miraculous because of his faith in Jesus, and he walked with Jesus. And guess what? After Jesus pulled them up when he started to sink, they walked together to the boat. See, when we're with Jesus, when we walk with him, there's nothing impossible. There's nothing impossible. Oh, this will never get better. Oh, that doesn't sound like somebody's walking with Jesus. It's too hard. Doesn't sound like somebody's walking with Jesus. But, whoa! But Jesus can do all things. And there's nothing too hard for him. But it's a choice that you and I have to make every day as to whether or not we walk with Jesus. So wait, let's really get down to the nitty-gritty now as we're going to wrap this all up. Okay. Remember Genesis 3, right? Walk with God. This is cool. Sin. Can't walk with God now. Disqualified. Oh, man. How can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can't. But then you have to realize something, that God's still agreeable to walk with us in spite of our sin. See, even though Isaiah truly says, but your, me, my, our iniquities have separated us from your God, and your sins has hidden his face from you, right? Though that is absolutely true, we have a God in heaven who desires to have a walk with us and a close, intimate walk with us. That's his desire. So how do you now get to that place by being able to walk with God? You have to agree with God. So the first thing you have to agree with is, God, I can't walk with you because I'm a sinner. I have sin in my life. And God's going to say, yeah, I know. God, I can't walk with you. Yep, I know. God, I'm not worthy to walk. Yeah, I know. God, you don't want me around. Yes, I do. I want you to walk with me. So come into agreement with me. First step, agree that you're a sinner. Second step, agree that you can't walk with a holy God. Agree to the third step, that God loved you so much that he came from heaven and walked on this earth to walk all the way to Calvary's Hill to lay down his life upon that bloody cross, to pay the penalty for your sin, to shed his blood, that if you in faith, oh, it's impossible, I can't be saved, it's impossible, there's blah, 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 blah. Oh, really? He did that for you to believe, and if you have faith that he did that for you, that he died for you, then you receive his forgiveness by faith. He washes your sin away, and you are now eligible to walk with him once again. And you can walk with God. You can walk with your Creator. You can walk with the Lord. You can walk with the lover of your soul. You can walk with the one who desires to walk with you. You can walk with him. So you have to come into agreement with God that our sins have separated from him. But then you also have to come into agreement that he made a way for us to come back. Will you accept that? Will you agree with God? Now, if you have agreed with God, and you realize somewhere on your life that you couldn't walk with a holy God, but now by his grace you have been saved and you're a child of God and you now have a walk with God. Realize something. That walk, now you're eligible for the walk, right? But you still have to make a choice to walk with him every day. You have to make a choice to walk with him every day. Every day. It's a choice. Will you do that? Will you walk with him or choose not to walk with him? You have this ability to walk with the Creator, but are you too busy? Or do you want to walk only your way? Can you have one last story and then we'll close? Bible story, not a me story. It comes from one of the saddest scriptures to me in all of the Bible. Jesus is walking, teaching, healing, doing the Jesus thing. And he is popular with the masses. They're all following him. They're all following him. I mean, they left John the Baptist now. There's a bit better show. You know, let's go follow the Jesus one. And they're going to follow him everywhere he goes. It doesn't matter if he goes into a deserted area. It doesn't matter if there's 10,000 people, 20,000 people following him. We're going to keep walking. We're going to follow Jesus. It doesn't matter if it's getting late in the evening and they didn't pack lunch or dinner. Because you know what? Something's going to happen. We're following Jesus. This is really cool. This is the best thing we could be doing. And it was. It was good following Jesus. And actually, the Bible, you want to see in a minute, calls all these crowds at this time disciples. Now, you're going to find out something about their discipleship in a minute. But at this time, they're disciples. You know why? They're walking with him. They're walking with him, and they're in agreement with him. Hey, you're pretty cool. He gives them that dinner, miraculously, loaves and fishes. Wow. Next morning, they're hungry, so they come out for breakfast again. Now, Jesus knows their hearts, and he knows that they are disciples, walkers with him, because it's convenient for them and because he serves a really good bread and fish. And now they're hungry for breakfast. And they said, we don't even care if it's bread and fish again. We just want breakfast. So Jesus begins to now teach them the hard sayings of how it's not just this wide road that we just walk and you just come to God whenever you feel like or wherever you want to and choose, oh, God, as long as you give me breakfast, I'll spend time with you. He starts giving the hard sayings. He starts telling the narrow road sayings. He was teaching them about how it means to really follow him exclusively. To deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Follow me. It's not about your feelings. It's not about this, that, and the other thing. It's not about your situation. It's not about your hardships. It's not about, it's just follow me. If you follow me, I'll walk with you through that. The choice is, will you follow me? He begins to lay that out for me in no uncertain terms in John chapter 6. Challenging their walk. Challenging their commitment to be walkers, disciples. And it says in John 6:6:6, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. It might be one of those tragic verses of Scripture. The crowds that loved him when it was convenient for them, when God answered their prayers and God gave the way, and when everything went smooth and easy and everything was fine, hey, I'll follow you any day, I'll keep walking with you. But when the road became a hard road, when the road became a road of denying yourself to follow him in whatever capacity. See, there's times that God has a capacity for us to follow him. And it could be a lonely road in that way. You need to follow Jesus when everybody else is scattering, going the way. You got to follow him knowing that it's better you follow him. Even if it's not convenient for you. Even if you don't feel the good necessarily about it from a worldly point of view. You stop. I'm going to follow him, Jesus. I'm going to follow you no matter what. I'm going to keep my eyes on you no matter what this road brings. Because it's more important that I follow your road for my life. Because in that road, I will find the blessing. When he looked around and they all left, he looked at the other disciples that were left. He said, you going to leave me too? Lord, where else are we going to go? We're going to keep walking with you. You got the words of life. We're going to keep our walk with you. And they're the ones that walked with him all the way through the cross, all the way through the tomb, all the way through the resurrection, all the way to the ascension, all the way to the being filled with the Holy Spirit, because they kept their walk with Jesus alive. That's what God desires for us. See, are you qualified? If not, you need to get qualified. If you're still in your sin, you have not yet been born again, you have to agree with God that you're a sinner and your sins have separated you from God. And if you keep it that way, you're going to walk without God forever. In hell. We talked about that last week. In hell. That's a real place. Nobody enjoys that walk. Or you can agree with God and say, yes, I am a sinner. But I also agree that you still want to walk with me and you died for me. Father, by faith, I accept your forgiveness. If you accept that, you can be qualified once again to walk with him. In fact, when we close in a few minutes, you guys can come up and pray. If you never trusted Christ, your Lord and Savior, come up. We will pray together to you by faith can receive him. And then with your qualified, will you walk with him no matter what? Will you walk with him? Will you walk with your Emmanuel? Will you walk with him? Will you walk with him that he will illuminate every step of your life when you don't even know how to take the next step because your life has become so chaotic and everything within you says, go the other way. Get off this road. Move away from this. You'll say, no, Jesus, I trust you to illuminate my very next step that I can't see. I am walking by faith. I'm just trusting you because there's no other road I would rather be on. He will dispel your fears during that walk. His peace will guard your heart and mind. His presence will allow you to know that he is with you every step of the way, and he will never leave you. That's what happens when you walk with him his way. So it's your choice. Walk with him no more and walk to eternal destruction, or Revelation 21 as we close. Revelation 21. The city had no need of the sun. This is talking about eternity, church. Or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Listen to the next verse. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. That's your choice. We're going to walk to destruction or walk with him all the way to glory and then continue to walk with him all throughout eternity. Father, thank you for this message about walking. We desire a closer walk with you. I pray, Lord, that is our prayer. That's our desire. I trust that it is. Lord, if it's not our desire to have that closer walk with you, then I pray today that our hearts would change And we would have the desire to walk with you through all of life's trials, through all of its tribulations, that we know that walking with you is the best thing. It's really the only thing. So, Lord, today I pray for the sinner who's not yet become a saint, that they would realize that they need to be qualified to walk with you, and they only could be qualified if they've been born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, would they come in faith and repent and agree with you that they need to be saved to walk with you. And Father, once they and all the other children of the Most High God have made that commitment, then would we today desire to closely walk with you every day? Would that be the desire of our hearts? Lord, only you can accomplish this in us and through us. So we ask, Lord, that your word would have its intended effect in every heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.